910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A teenage migrant who's accused of opening fire in a busy store in Times Square last night is under arrest.
In less than 24 hours, our teams removed a very, very violent subject that had zero reservations about firing shots and endangering our great public.
NYPD Assistant Chief of Detectives Jason Savino, the suspect is accused of wounding a tourist from Brazil and opening fire on officers who pursued him. A day after the release of the special counsel's report, President Biden says he will appoint a task force to oversee the handling of classified documents during presidential transitions. A bipartisan group of lawmakers met today in Kyiv with Ukrainian President Zelensky with the promise of continued support for the country as the Russian invasion nears the two-year mark. Two people were killed when a small plane crashed on a busy Florida highway. Earthquakes rattle California and Hawaii. This is ABC News. We've gotten the final report on an emergency landing of a plane in Miami, which could have been seen with flames shooting out of an engine.
Atlas Air Flight 3885, a Boeing 747 cargo plane flying from Miami to San Juan, Puerto Rico 3 weeks ago, had to turn back due to a fire. Flames and sparks seen shooting out of an engine as it came in for an emergency landing. An NTSB report on the incident found no evidence of an uncontained engine failure, but a fire in the wall of a fan duct, possibly caused by a combustion diffuser being loose. The plane landed safely back at Miami International with no injuries. The NTSB report shows work was done just 3 days prior on the same engine combustion section that caught fire. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
An IRS Inspector General's report says the agency continued to give 19 contractors access to sensitive systems even after they'd failed background checks as recently as July. Commissioner Danny Werfel says four of the contractors have since been terminated. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I saw the Ramones in that place on their last tour.
Oh, wow.
I was doing the club next door, and we just walked next door after our show.
Did you use the old "We're the Comedians" line?
That's a big thing in stand-up. For those of you listening, comics will use that to get in anywhere. Hi, we're the comedians next door.
Yeah, we're the
thinking,
comics.
Like you're with the FBI or something. But sometimes it works. People are like, oh, that's so cool. Come on in.
Oh, you're comics. Yeah, come on in.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin have overwhelmingly voted to form a union. They will be represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They expect the National Labor Relations Board to certify the results of their election in the coming days. Planned Parenthood officials say they look forward to building a good working relationship with the union and will bargain in good faith to provide excellent patient care across the state. Green Party candidates will be on election ballots in Wisconsin this year. That's after Wisconsin Election Commission action yesterday. A Green Party candidate could make a difference in a close election in a key swing state, and the latest Marquette polls suggest President Biden has the most to lose from third-party and independent candidates. Jill Stein got more than 31,000 votes in Wisconsin in 2016. The Green Party has yet to put forward a nominee. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After going 1-4 on their road trip, the Bucks came home and lost again, this time 129-105 to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Doc Rivers says he considered just resting all of his starters.
Before the game, being honest, I thought if we could keep it close, we'd play the guys. But if they got, my thing was 18-20, I was pre-planned tonight. You thought before the game, Maybe sit all of them.
The Bucks play again tonight against the Charlotte Hornets at Fiserv Forum. NFL Super Bowl 58 coming up Sunday night. The 49ers against the Kansas City Chiefs. Wisconsin native and former Badgers linebacker Leo Chanel on playing for Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, you know, I think we step up to the plate when, you know, when things get tough. And, you know, some games, like, you know, it might take us a series or two to play. Hey, like, let's just play who we are. It's just about being physical, being who we are, trusting our identity and trusting our techniques and what Coach Spags is taught us.
That's Chiefs linebacker Leo Chanel. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with some flurries or brief snow showers and lows dropping to around 20. For tomorrow, early clouds, then some afternoon sunshine and highs near 30 degrees. On Sunday, a partly sunny sky, up into the low 30s for a high. Right now, it's 22.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lolia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 24, then Saturday sunshine with a high of 35. Cafe Latte is unlike any restaurant you've ever experienced. Grab a tray and pick from their award-winning selections of soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Cafe Latte, Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or cafelatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Mm-hmm. You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting news from Natives themselves at Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Say, Haley, we always, and I should say you always end with Free Leonard Peltier now at our show, at the end of the show every time. And talk a little bit, we want to talk a little bit about that before we get into, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on today, and also we're going to talk a little bit about the events going on Turtle Island and specifically the Twin Cities in the five-state area here in Wisconsin, Iowa, and the Dakotas. So Leonard was, Peltier was in, he was prosecuted in 1975, and he basically stands as a symbol of law enforcement treatment of American Indians, and at that time and to this day, Native Americans and Indigenous people, which are the same things, make up less than 10% of the population in the state of South Dakota. But 51% of the people that are incarcerated, says Nick Tilson of Indian Collective president and CEO, that makes South Dakota and the Indigenous population here ground zero for over-incarcerated of Indigenous peoples in the nation. You know, Leonard is now beginning in his 49th year in prison. It's a fight of for justice and systematic reform. And I just know personally, you know, he's 79 years old. He's been on the show. He called me up out of the clear blue and heard that we were talking good things about him and appreciated it. He's a citizen of Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa in North Dakota. And he was an activist and he was a member of the American Indian Movement. And he was convicted by a flawed prosecution and constitutional violations that led to Leonard's conviction. And, you know, as of now, we've talked so much about this. We've had so many guests on. We've had people like our friend do a walk for Leonard to D.C. across the Turtle Island just in the last year or so. And it's we've had FBI agents on that have said that this is a issue with the FBI. This is one of the first things that they teach new FBI agents about. We're never going to let Leonard Peltier out, and we're never going to. And he murdered two FBI agents, and what he is in prison for is aiding and abetting the murder of two FBI agents that they never found who the murderers were. Also in this mix, there was a Native American murdered. And so I always put it into these, to this kind of, you know, thing is that George Floyd was murdered. And then the police officers that were aiding and abetting the officer that murdered George Floyd only got 2 and 3 years. And now he's in 49 years for aiding and abetting.
Right. So, yeah, this is just a great example of, I mean, luckily how things have kind of changed and, you know, there's a bigger eye and more people fighting to fight oppression and racism across all of our communities. And yeah, you know, this is an FBI issue. And, you know, even today in 2024, there are members of the FBI who still continue to step forward to call out the faults in this prosecution. And, you know, I just, what a hard thing to live with, to be in prison this long, to be separated from your community, your traditions, your religion, your land. And, you know, for what? For a wrongdoing conviction. And I am just still in such disbelief that he has not been released. You know, I'm just waiting for the day where we don't have to say free Leonard Peltier anymore. I'm waiting for the day where we can say that he is free. And I know that Indian Collective had a really great post on this a few days ago, and they also included a message here from Leonard, and I just want to read this. This is Leonard Peltier's recent message to his supporters. I know that the spirit warriors coming up behind me have the heart and soul to fight racism and oppression and to fight the greed that is poisoning our lands, waters, and people. We are still here. Remember who you are, even if you come from your land, your water, your family. We are children of Mother Earth, and we owe her and her other children our care.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and that's the main reason why we still have Leonard in our prayers. And Haley ends the show with a free Leonard Peltier now. 49 years is way too long. The longest political prisoner ever in the United States.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, just in hopes, you know, I know Wendy had started saying free Leonard Peltier years ago on the show, and we still continue it here at the end of our last segment of every episode. But just in hopes that, you know, maybe we have a new listener who maybe has never heard the name Leonard Peltier, and right, just hoping that by us continuing to say his name every day or on every episode, hopefully they'll research and also be thinking of Leonard and also be thinking of a way to take action for him.
Yeah, like you said, Wendy had done it for many years, and now you're doing it in honoring Leonard Peltier and his life, and that he's still alive and he's still with us. And again, that's pretty heavy duty, and I appreciate you doing that, Haley.
Well, I will always do it. I'll continue doing it until justice is provided.
Right on. Hey, that's a segue into things that are happening in the Twin Cities here. I know we got a big powwow here, and a young It's 25th. Is it 25th?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. Have you been to the NJ Young powwows before?
Yes, many times. And it's always kick butt, always a lot of good vendors, food. And it's at Johnson High School this year on the east side of St. Paul. And it's just going to be a great, great turnout. I've gone to a couple powwows, and it seems like, you know, COVID's still out there, and we talk about COVID, but it's also a thing where people are getting out and getting in the community and seeing relatives and in masses. And so reminds me too, just to remind people, if you're not feeling good, do not come to anything. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
And we forget that, because before COVID, you know, when I taught school, there was a lot of sick kids coming to school.
They
had nowhere else to go.
Right.
A lot of them, you know.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that reminds me too, like, I just took two COVID tests this past weekend, and luckily, you know, negative, and so I can continue being out in community. But, you know, you have to remember every time you're in community that you might be picking up some of that COVID. But we do have NJ Young Center's 25th annual Cherish the Children traditional powwow this weekend, and is open to the public, so anyone is welcome to come. Saturday, grand entry is at 1 and 6 p.m., but there's also a community feast at 5 p.m. And then Sunday, February 11th, grand entry is at 1 p.m. Trickster Tacos will be there, Stephen D's. We've got a bunch of Native vendors. So if you are still looking for something cute to pick up your partner for Valentine's Day, that would be the place to do it.
Yeah, something cute. That's right. Wow. Well, we had a nice talk about our Uncle Leonard, and people, there is a place to send a postcard. Google it. We don't have it right in front of us, but he'd appreciate that, I know, and that we're still thinking of him these many 49 years ago. And again, that's insane to think about, you know. Carter could have, and I thought was going to, not Carter, excuse me, Clinton was going to let him out, and Obama was going to, and all these things fell through. So prayers out. Up next, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with
us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Become a teacher and ignite change. Join the St. Paul Urban Residency Program to become a teacher in just 15 months. You can earn your master's degree and teaching license from the University of St. Thomas while earning a $30,000 stipend, single health care, and dental benefits. As an added bonus, next year's cohort, all residents will receive $20,000 towards their tuition. Apply now. Applications due February 28, 2024. Visit spps.org/sutr. Life can be hectic. Sometimes the pressure can feel like too much, and the emotions can be overwhelming. Hennepin County's COPE Mobile Crisis Response is here to listen and help you find a way through whatever is going on in your life. Call 612-596-1223 for no-cost crisis support anytime, anywhere in Hennepin County. That number is 612-596-1223.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and it's a fun Friday, a chill Friday here. A lot going on nationally, but, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show. We have an anniversary coming up, and that'd be fun to talk about. I was off a few years. I thought it was 28, but it's a 100-year anniversary, right, State Senator? And by the way, welcome.
And Peitawash Day, everybody. Thanks, Robert and Haley. Yeah, 2024 is the 100th anniversary, get this, everyone, of American Indians, indigenous people of Turtle Island, becoming citizens of the United States. So prior to 1924, American Indians were not considered citizens of the United States. And that just blows my mind when I think about, for example, my grandparents. My grandpa came from the Standing Rock Reservation when he was a young man to St. Paul with his family, and married my grandma, who was an Irish, you know, Scandinavian woman. And she could vote. She had all the rights of U.S. citizenship. She could vote. She was a citizen, all of those things. But my grandpa was not. And it wasn't until 1924 that, like 3 years before his oldest child was born, that he was able to actually vote. And I kind of remember having conversations with my dad about some of these things, and the fact that you know, my grandpa didn't have that right to vote, but once he did start voting, it was really, really super important to him that he exercise that. And I know that's one of the things that we are always trying to work on with our Native communities. They're not only their right, but really their obligation to vote in all elections, not just tribal elections, not just local elections, but national elections too, because every single seat that represents you through a vote, you have a voice in putting that person in there or taking them out if they aren't, you know, practicing the best practices and representing you in the best way.
You know, it's funny. I see some memes about I grow my hair long for my ancestors that couldn't. Mm-hmm. I think we can really put that towards voting, too. I'm writing that down because that's a really, really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because if you go back and look at the history, I did. When I heard that, I thought, I want to find out more about that, being the library person that I am. And it was Calvin Coolidge who signed the Indian Citizenship Act. Huh. It's also known as the Snyder Act. And interesting enough, there were tribal folks that were really leery of it, because of course, anytime there's some kind of act within the federal government, Native folks get the short end of the stick, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of folks back in the day, the Native communities, were really worried that this was just another way to break up Native nations. Because prior to that, they could, of course, vote in their tribal elections. And I think they saw this as a way to undermine tribal governments. And, you know, another way to force them to assimilate into society. But
I can see that. That makes a lot of sense, too, because I feel like, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel like we're being counted now in the census more, because people are not as fearful as they were, for good reason, and also voting. Wow, really a good point, State Senator.
Yeah, so along with that is they may become citizens, but that didn't guarantee Native folks the right to vote
right
away. There was still a lot of work to do. There, you know, I would, according, you know, to what I read, there were a lot of Americans that still didn't want Native folks to have the voting rights in their states. It's sort of like after the Civil War, for a short time, you know, well, African-American people, those slaves, could vote. And right. Many Black men mostly were elected into, you know, the legislature, right, local things for a while until they saw the consequences. Mm-hmm. And then that's when they started pulling it back. And so there was a lot of, you know, we don't want them to vote right away. Probably they thought they couldn't we couldn't handle it right off the bat. And say, just stick to your own government and don't worry about it, which is why I think so many of our communities, you know, especially the elders, didn't vote. Mm-hmm. Because either when they didn't know that they could vote, or they were disenfranchised, or there weren't polls that were convenient for them, or they didn't have the information. Remember, before the internet, what was it, radio or newspapers were your only source, and TV, but
smoke signals.
Smoke signals, yeah. But when you think about those out in greater Minnesota, were they able to catch the television, you know, right, were they getting the newspaper? No, that costs money. Could you tune in some, you know, radio station? They maybe were getting more Canadian news than American news. So it's just so fascinating that these rights, that these inherent rights that we all should have had from the very beginning were not, you know, it wasn't so long ago, and it wasn't until the 30s and 40s and even the 50s that in some states the Native folks were able to vote.
I heard it was even as early as or late as the early 60s too in some nations. One of the things too that's interesting is the Flowers, Killers of the Flower Moon was, you know, in that era when we became citizens, but the people there could not control their own money. So it's all about control. When African Americans after the Civil War got the vote, then they came back with I can't remember what it's called, but it was a whole era of anti African American and BIPOC people. That's all that was worked on. So that's a really good point. I have to remind you too, in 1978, when I was a junior in high school, we could not legally practice our own religion here in this country that was supposed to be based on the freedom of religion. So the irony is there too.
Yeah. And let's add women to that list because 60s and 70s, women couldn't have their own checkbook. They couldn't get a loan. They couldn't have a credit card in their name. You know, had to have a man sign for all of these things.
Title IX, when we were in high school, too.
Yeah. Happened. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you know what that is, Haley. Do you know what Title IX is?
I've heard of it before, but I don't remember exactly what it is.
Equal money for athletes, women athletes in high school and college. Equal representation. Okay. So in other words, we didn't have to fund any athletics that the women did in schools until it became law, right, State Senator?
Yeah, I mean, it was up to them to do it. And so that brings us to something in legislation that's very important. And yes, we are going to get it done this year, the Equal Rights Amendment. I have been working on that also in the legislature for years. We want to put a statement of equal rights into our state constitution here in Minnesota. And we fought hard over in the House when I was a state rep, and I passed it off of the floor. Such an interesting conversation. I should go back and look at that. And then last year, we amended it. We made it even more broad to include, you know, the diversity of LGBTQ and others. and we passed it off the house, off the Senate floor, but we didn't get it off the, we didn't pass it through the House floor. So this year we'll go, be going back and running it through the House. Spent a lot of time this summer, a lot of incredible groups. Gender justice.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger, a teenaged migrant who's accused of opening fire in a busy store in Times Square last night, is under arrest.
In less than 24 hours, our teams removed a very, very violent subject that had zero reservations about firing shots and endangering our great public.
NYPD Assistant Chief of Detectives Jason Savino, the suspect is accused of wounding a tourist from Brazil and opening fire on officers who pursued him. A day after the release of the special counsel's report, President Biden says he will appoint a task force to oversee the handling of classified documents during presidential transitions. A bipartisan group of lawmakers met today in Kyiv with Ukrainian President Zelensky with the promise of continued support for the country as the Russian invasion nears the two-year mark. Two people were killed when a small plane crashed on a busy Florida highway. Earthquakes rattle California and Hawaii. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has seen its first ever tornado touchdown in February. The National Weather Service says it happened between Evansville and Edgerton in south-central Wisconsin Thursday night. No one was killed, though there were some minor injuries reported. The tornadoes brought widespread damage to farms, homes, and businesses. It's tax season again. The AARP has 120 tax aid locations open around Wisconsin to give seniors some free help filing their taxes. The AARP's Darren Wozniewski.
Even a modest refund for somebody who's, you know, living on Social Security can go a long way to helping alleviate some of the financial stress that they might be under.
Volunteers are IRS certified and trained on the latest tax code changes. Help is available in person or online. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with some flurries or brief snow showers and lows dropping to around 20. For tomorrow, early clouds, then some afternoon sunshine and highs near 30 degrees. On Sunday, a partly sunny sky up into the low 30s for a high. Currently 21 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lolia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 24, then Saturday sunshine with a high of 35. The Randy Rainbow for President Tour is coming to the State Theater in Minneapolis on Friday night, February 23rd. Don't miss out on this great event. Get your tickets at randyrainbow.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish and her grandbaby, who's looking like she's eating a Cheeto. Oh, no. What is that?
No, it is a syringe.
Oh, great.
That's a play one.
But it's a play. It's one that, you know, the girls use when I give them any Tylenol or anything. So,
yeah.
It's
like a doctor.
I'm not injecting her with anything today.
So, State Senator Mary Kunish, you have three children, adult children. Were you more careful with the first one than the last one? I think that's kind of been a scenario that I hear over and over again. Unless, of course, the last one was a boy and, you know, he's the golden child, so he's the favorite. So it might not be the same with you.
You know too well. You know, I think because I came from a really large family of 13 and yeah. I was number 9, I grew up taking care of little kids, you know, feeding their bottle, they're changing their diapers, getting them outside to play. My youngest brother was, I think I was 12 or 13 when he was born, and I was really kind of a surrogate mother for him. That having my own was like not a big deal. It just was not a big deal. And I remember when my oldest daughter was born, you know, she was my first, and mm-hmm. you go into the hospital, you have your baby, and the nurses are, you know, kind of watching, hovering, make sure you're holding the baby right and doing things right. And I think the day after we got to give her first bath, bunch of moms in a room giving their little newborns a bath. And my daughter happened to be, all my kids were born really hairy. I mean, like they had long hair on their ears, on their back. They had they had full heads of hair, black hair.
I can't wait to see your daughters again and tell them that what your mom's talking about on the radio. Yeah.
They're like, oh, mom, I heard you told another story. But I remember putting her in the bath and then, you know, kind of lifting her out. And she just looked like a little wet monkey. And I started laughing. And the nurses came running over. I think they thought I was hysterical or that I was going to drop that baby. But it was just like, she just looked like a little, you know, drowned monkey. It was, I was, you know, it just came so natural to me that I think I raised them all pretty much the same.
Yeah, they're good people. The only problem I had with your son, and he was like, you know, he's your number one, is he had a period of time where he didn't cut his hair and he had a mullet. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. That boy has had some interesting hairdos, let me tell you. And when he was in high school... Oh my gosh. I don't know. I think he was going to be in somebody's wedding and they said, you can't be my wife if you don't cut your hair. And that finally did it. But
Haley, you have some news about hair. Why don't you tell our audience here real quick now that we're in show and tell here. Don't touch that.
Do I have some news?
About your hair.
My hair? Like in high school?
Yes.
Oh, that's old news. What do you mean?
Well, say it. Our audience wants to know you.
Okay. Well, I, Haley Cherry, won best hair class of 2016 at Forest Lake High School. Thank you. Yeah. One of the only Native people in there, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. That's one of those things, State Senator and Haley, that's so bizarre being out in community. I see it happen so many times with somebody with, you know, beautiful long hair like Haley, people just go up and touch it.
Yeah.
You know, I was wearing a medallion in kind of a, you know, not a BIPOC gathering. It was just an all gathering. And people, friends would come up and they'd grab my medallion and touch it and say stuff. And just to, you know, oh, I really like this instead of, you know, it's just weird. I mean, it's not the same as touching hair, Haley, but
yeah,
I could kind of get the gist. It's like, oh, geez, don't touch that. I got to smudge it off now.
Right.
Yeah. Those things are really personal.
Yeah. And even just being in the different communities and you can see the contrast between, you know, kind of the shared boundaries when it comes to touching. You know, beaded medallions, those are expensive, and that takes someone a really long time to make. And it, you know, usually is a gift, so it's very special.
Well, exactly, and I think that's what Mary was alluding to. Both the medallions that I've had were students that gifted me, and they're really big ones and nice ones and expensive ones. And I mean, if they were to sell them, but they, the rule is too, each bead has a prayer in it. And also, you know, that when you first bead something, you have to give it away. And I was lucky to be there for two nice medallions from Misko and one of the, I'll come up with his name. Jeez, I can't think of their names right off the top, but he made me a nice eagle for my eagle clan. Nolan. You know Nolan. Nolan and his family. So, yeah, really. It's so, again, our people that are listening to this that don't know, just to remember the boundaries of that, especially with something, you know, as a gift and has a prayer in it, like a medallion or your hair, it's very sacred, and ask if you can touch it or look at it first. So we have a lot of allies listening in, wanting to do things the right way. So I'm glad we kind of talked about that real quick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were, I was, and Robert, you brought this up. I was at an event last night, and maybe you want to show them your shirt, but it was reconnecting, you know, history, and it's for Native youth, mostly high school kids that go to the Minnesota Historical Society, and they go through sort of a program, and they're exposed to a lot of Native artifacts and practices and history here in Minnesota. And my nephew participated in that. And then the son of one of our Ho-Chunk legislators was also there. But there was an elder that talked about the sacredness of beading, of beads. And, you know, that story about beads on a rope. And, you know, it's sort of like Catholics practicing the rosary.
Yeah.
Each one of those beads is a Hail Mary or a, you know, a Our Father or one of those really important prayers. And that's what a lot of those are. So when you say each bead is a prayer, it really is the truth. And in essence, I mean, you wouldn't go up and touch somebody's rosary without permission, or, you know, a spiritual item without permission, or you just know not to touch those things. And so I think there's still some kind of a disconnect, thinking that, oh, that's a really pretty thing that Indian person is wearing, not a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. It just makes me think. I was and you being a former teacher could appreciate this. I was at the U yesterday, and Haley's gone with me in the past. I was talking to a media class about the radio show and things like that. And it always turns into culture, because I talk about how this show started was because of Standing Rock and what was happening in Standing Rock and the lack of real news that was coming out of there. And that was our call to action and starting the show on AM 950. But there's so many questions in a good way. You know, I had three students, and they were both from China, come to me afterwards and mention that I didn't really say anything about, and it wasn't asked either, about what's happening in Palestine. And I could only give my opinion, you know, and genocide's genocide, no matter how you look at it. And and I, you know, talking about media, I kept on seeing the same pictures, video over and over again for weeks on the news of, you know, the kidnapping of people, the Israel people and other people. And so the media really plays a lot of, you know, intention on what we focus on. And so it's interesting, you know, our students are still out there thinking, I guess is what I'm trying to get at, Mary, and they're way ahead of us, these Gen Zs, in a lot of ways.
So I really would agree with you in so many ways. When, you know, we think about our history, how our history was written, and from whose viewpoint, you know, who's the dominant that can get the most information out there. Mm-hmm. It's their story that's going to be heard, you know. And so we just always have to be sure that we are being diligent in doing our best in looking at both sides of the picture and what's happening. I mean, I'm sure there are people that think that Russia has every right to go into the Ukraine. But, you know, from one view, it's one way. From another view, it's certainly different.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess you have to, especially nowadays, and then with AI now, you have to really sift through stuff. And you have to be a critical thinker. And I think that's one of the things when we talk about school, like we taught in school and college, is not so much to remember how to do algebra, but to become a critical thinker. And I think that's what some of the things that are changing now is that, you know, one side is a critical thinker and the other side believes the world's flat.
And I think it's important that we take the time not only to, you know, self-informed, but when you know somebody that maybe has an alternative or comes from or has those life experiences, that you ask for that. I mean, my kids are half Lebanese, so they're Middle Eastern.
Oh, you got muted there. The baby muted it. Aww.
I was just saying, you know, we all have come to things from different life experiences, and I think it's just really important that we take the time and the effort to educate ourselves on all the pieces, so that we can make those informed critical decisions, and that's what I hope I do at the legislature.
Yeah, well, hopefully you can hold on for another segment. I'd like to see what's coming forward with you. We got a short segment at the end of the show. Are you with us, State Senator?
Yep, I can hang on.
Right on. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after the short break.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune into Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to cafelatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at cafelatte.com.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333. Are you thinking about college? Consider checking out Minnesota Private Colleges. These 18 nonprofit institutions keep the focus on students with small classes and professors who will get to know you. You'll find students from all backgrounds, and no two colleges are alike. And when it comes to cost, they're more affordable than you think. Find the college that's right for you at mnprivatecolleges.org/possible. mnprivatecolleges.org/possible.
Wajile,
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! It's always fun to have State Senator Howell with us, which is always a good thing in a good way. Hey, we're here with Haley Cherry and our State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're wrapping up the show here. And a big week happening coming up here for you, Mary, and your colleagues. Tell us what you got to look forward ahead of time other than a lot of work.
Yeah, it'll be a quick one this year. We start... The session 2024 kicks off on Monday morning, so we'll begin on Monday and go through the end of May. We have to be done before Labor Day for sure, or Memorial mm-hmm. Day for sure. So this is a bonding year, mostly looking at policy and the dollars that will be focused on are on statewide infrastructure projects. So bridges and roads, state-owned buildings, universities, that sort of thing. And then we, you know, all of our communities are always asking for help with some really big projects. Like for me, I have this little tiny community tucked into Columbia Heights. It's called Hilltop. And it's a manufactured home community. And it's just like three blocks big, but it's its own municipality. They have their own mayor and council, and it's all manufactured homes. And they have a very, very outdated tornado shelter. So if there's inclement weather and they all have to get to shelter, it isn't even big enough, and it's not ADA equipped for a lot of the members that live in that community. So that's a big request that we're asking for some help on that. Mm-hmm. But all of the committees will be kicking off and having hearings. I'm the chair of education finance. We had that huge $5.5 billion to spend last year on education, and we did. And yep. we're starting to see some really good things happen. I don't know if you saw that article in the paper a week or so ago about like Minneapolis, we put over $30 million into libraries. So wow. School libraries, multi-type counties, all of the public libraries. And Minneapolis pledged to have at least a half-time library media specialist in all of their schools.
Yeah.
So they did. And there was an article that quoted a library media specialist, and he said, you know, this library hadn't been open for a couple of years. We opened it up, and the books are flying off the shelf by the gazillion. Gazillion. And so, you know, when I read that, I was so excited, like, it's working. Hallelujah. Yes. I don't know that we'll have much money to spend this year. So we'll just kind of review what has happened, listen to folks, tell what's going on, what's working, what's not working so well, where did we, you know, miss something. And so kind of reviewing, kind of fixing whatever needs fixing if we need to, and then just sort of maintaining what we've done for at least the next year, so that we when we come back in 2025, which is another budget year, we'll have a good idea of where we need to fill the buckets.
You know, being a former teacher myself, I know how important it is to have a media specialist in our schools. Now, there's research that students need to do and learners need to do that, you know, the teachers don't have time to come into the library and explain, this is how you do this and that, and this mm-hmm. is how you search things. And I've sat in on a few I don't know if they're training sessions, but informational sessions from media specialists. And while it's not our media specialists when we were in school, there is so much going on and so much information to give to the learners and the students.
Yeah, I was a library media specialist for 20 years. And 15 of them at the elementary level. And I ran the library. I chose all the books. I, you know, maintained everything. But I also, you know, taught lessons every single week to every single class when they came down. And a lot of it is on technology, how to use the computer, how to do, a viable search and get authentic information, how to discern what's, you know, baloney and what's the real fact of the matter. And then how to put it into a form that you can, you know, read, regurgitate, understand, and then share with somebody else. And I see a lot of, I see some really poor research, even at the legislature. You know, there'll be times where legislators will just like say something outrageous. And I'll be sitting there looking, you know, right in real time, like, really, is that true? And I'll be looking on my computer and, you know, it's either not true, there's no information on that. And if I go up, and this happened a couple times last year, a member would make some outrageous statement or state some fact, and I'd look it up. I either couldn't find it or found that whatever they said was not true, and then go ask them about it. And they'd be like, well, they'll be holding papers and shaking them in the air. Like, the fact of the matter is right here on these papers. And then when you ask them for it, there's like, there's nothing really on there about what they just said. They just kind of pulled it out of nowhere. And
I know, too, to be able to cite things is a media specialty.
100%.
To show you, especially now with AI and plagiarism and the internet, to how do you cite things. And one of the things I learned, and this is funny, too, but if I was looking up, let's say, major leagues, and then I'd put in quotes, Twins, it would go to the Minnesota Twins or Twins that played the major leagues. But I didn't know to put quotes in, but I learned that from our media specialist.
Yeah, I mean, we can make your life a lot easier. Trust me. So though that was one of the big wins. No-cost school lunches was another big win. And again, there was a big article about how Roseville is taking it to the next level and creating these delicious from scratch meals for students. That is, it's healthy, it's colorful, it's, you know, like current food habits, that sort of thing. I know at the elementary school that I was at, when Obama was president and they made a really big deal about school lunches and healthy choices, and our school started to prepare lunches on site that reflected the community that we served. So they had, like, they'd have greens and barbecue and, you know, cornbread. And these were all made from scratch.
Wow.
We had sambusas and, you know, more ethnic. And when we say Mexican, not just like a taco or an enchilada, but, you know, really authentic foods that represented the students. And it was really, really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and then we talk about, I just can't tell you how important it is when I was teaching and you guys passed the school breakfasts for everybody. That was a game changer because there were so many kids that didn't have breakfast, and we know how important that first meal really, really, really is. So to carry on with more, the school lunches is just imperative and just great work. Got a 30 seconds left, State Senator. I just want to say a big thank you, big Pinigigi, for all the work you do and coming on our show. You know, we've been on 7 years, and I think you've been on at least six. So,
from Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Connecting the dots between the left and the right.
Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.